It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Greg Gutfeld.
I'm Martha McCallum.
I'm Brett Baer, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. I'm Dave Anthony. Abortion remains the top election issue for Democrats, but former President Trump hopes to sidestep that, wanting to keep letting states, not the federal government, regulate it.
If we pro-lifers want to be victorious, we can't just have a regime that outlaws what we want. We really are going to have to persuade people that abortion is a bad thing and that there are better alternatives.
I'm Jessica Rosenthal. People taking over homes and claiming they are tenants are creating nightmares for the real homeowners. One state's now passed a law meant to end squatting.
Unfortunately, when the police come, they nearly always will say, this is a civil matter and you have to go to court with it.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
Election Day is now 30 weeks away. And former President Trump, getting ready for a Biden rematch, has weighed in on the abortion issue.
Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother.
What he doesn't want, though, is the federal government regulating abortions.
The states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both. And whatever they decide must be the law of the land.
Saying in a video on Truth Social,
many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people.
Some of his fellow Republicans disagree, like Senator Lindsey Graham, who said in reaction that he prefers a federal abortion ban at 15 weeks of pregnancy when he says an unborn child can feel pain. There is also reaction from the White House.
The only reason that extreme abortion bans are now in effect all over the country is because of the judges the previous president and Senate Republicans put in the courts.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre on Air Force One, traveling with President Biden, whose campaign reacted in a statement that voters will hold Trump accountable for taking women's personal freedom away. But the former president says he proudly is the person responsible for appointing justices that overturned Roe v. Wade, giving states the right to regulate abortions.
It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the 9th month.
Restoring women's federal abortion rights? Still, the number one issue for Democrats ahead of the 2024 election.
I think Trump's decision was wise because that is the best hope. I don't see why Louisiana or Florida and New York have to have the same abortion law.
Bill McGurn is a Fox News contributor, Main Street columnist for The Wall Street Journal. He used to be chief speechwriter for President George W. Bush.
I think it's a mistake to think there's some Solomonic solution where everyone's going to be happy. I think that's what democracy is. It's back and forth. Things change. I don't see it ever quite being as settled decisively one way or the other for a while. And again, it took 50 years to overturn Roe. It might take 50 years to reach another consensus.
Yeah.
Only thing I'll add is that it's the Democrats who want to nationalize the issue. You know, they've first through the Supreme Court, which threw out the laws of 48 states in Roe, and now they want referendum and different legislation. They want to nationalize it, and to the extent Republicans have to push back on that, national politicians can't avoid it. But I think the decision that Trump made is a wise one, and it benefits the Republican Party.
I know you said the Democrats want to nationalize this. There are Republicans who do want a national standard, a federal standard.
Right.
I know former Vice President Pence wanted 15 weeks, and there have been others that have said that. The president of the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life Group, Marjorie Dannenfelser, she put out a statement saying that she was deeply disappointed by the Trump announcement on Monday, saying that the Back to the States issue cedes the national debate to Democrats. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree. I like Marjorie a lot. She's not only an ally, but I think an old friend. I know her well. Susan B. Anthony List does great work for Republicans for the cause of life. But I think there's just no avoiding it. Let me add another wrinkle. You know, 60% of abortions now are chemical abortions. And it's going to get easier and easier for women to have an abortion at home. No ban of whatever weeks is going to stop that. I think for pro-life side to win, to get what we want, which is not just a law against abortion, but a culture that supports life, that supports the weak against the strong. That's what we want. And that is work of decades. And there's no shortcut. I would prefer the state decided it's closer to the people. I think that is the way to get more pro-life victories, because we're more likely to win a bunch of states than we are at a federal level. But honest people can have a disagreement.
You know, you mentioned medication abortion. The Supreme Court is considering a mifepristone case. That's one of the abortion drugs that's been used, and whether the FDA went too far in its approval process years ago. What do you think may happen in that one?
I don't know. I think that's going to largely hinge on non-abortion related questions, standing and so forth. Again, it points to what I think is a hard truth, that if we pro-lifers want to be victorious, we can't just have a regime that outlaws what we want. We really are going to have to persuade people that abortion is a bad thing and that there are better alternatives. And I think a lot of people are doing great work in the pro-life vineyard. They get very little credit. There's a guy near me in New Jersey, Chris Bell, takes in all these desperate women who want to have their babies and no one's helping them. So I think whatever the court does, I think it's kind of a sideshow on the way. We can't rely on regulation to prohibit abortions. We're going to have to persuade people we're right. And I have confidence that ultimately our side will prevail. We're appealing to the better angels of the American people's nature. And I think history is on that side. Doesn't always come fast, but I think it'll come.
But polling has been in the pro-choice favor. I mean, in the Fox News poll back in March, by a 20-point margin, voters oppose a ban on abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. That's the Florida law. They also oppose a 15-week ban. 54% oppose that. 43% are in favor of it. So it seems like that side has had a resurgence in those numbers. Those are better numbers for pro-choice supporters than they were a few years ago.
Yeah, 2 points about that. One is, yes, you're absolutely right. When the choice is between something they think is too restrictive or something they think or a more liberal regime, they do not want to outlaw all abortions. That's just a fact. That's been pretty consistent from the days of Roe to now. They don't want it. And Democrats, with their help in the media, have successfully portrayed pro-lifers as extremists. And I think the answer to that is we have to get back to pointing out who the real extremists are. One of the things Donald Trump did well, I think he sometimes has an uncanny knack for reading the public. One of the things he did well in the debate with Hillary Clinton, he pointed out that she is in favor of laws that will allow someone to abort a baby right up to the moment of birth. And she had no answer. And they were all indignant and so forth, and the press attacked him. But I think he drove that home about her extremism, and I think it contributed to his victory.
Now, the Biden campaign put out a statement saying that Donald Trump is responsible for creating the cruelty and chaos that's enveloped America since that Dobbs Supreme Court decision. Women are being turned away from emergency rooms, forced to go to court to seek permission for medical attention they need. That was the case out of Texas. Left to travel hundreds of miles for health care. And in states like Florida, abortion will likely soon be illegal before many women know they're pregnant, and it's going to get worse. Your thoughts? I mean, yeah. Democrats have successfully worked this abortion issue since the Supreme Court ruling?
So far, a very short period of time. We'll see what happens. Look, I would say what is more extreme than the position abortion all the way, no restrictions up to the moment of birth, federally funded, if necessary, with tax dollars? What can be more extreme, the position than that? One of the problems pro-life is that we don't have an honest press on this issue. The press is overwhelmingly pro-choice. So Republicans get hammered if they don't speak quite as clearly. And again, they'll have to overcome that if they hope to win. But I think the answer is, you don't like this law in Florida? Well, the Floridians like it. Their legislator voted for it, and their governor signed it in. Go move to New York if you like that. Same thing. New York has standard, and it might not pass in Mississippi. That's what having states is all about.
When you look ahead to the elections in November, abortion is the number one issue in that Fox News poll for Democrats, fourth issue overall. They successfully in 2022 used some ballot initiatives in some states that helped them in congressional races. They're going to try that again in other states in 2024. Are you worried that the abortion issue could boost a president whose approval ratings are low on things like the border and the economy?
That's what the Biden campaign is hoping. I'm just not sure it's going to go as the Democrats think. They're banking everything on this. You know, they can't. The point is, they can't defend any of the parts of Biden's agenda, his spending, his foreign policy, policy in the Mideast. So they're looking for this to rescue him. Maybe they'll be right. Maybe it'll work in some seats. I doubt it's going to be the big winner that they hope it is.
Do you think this will be a universal Republican acceptance of what the former president wants? Or will there be Republicans running for Congress or Senate? They will have a different view, and that'll be okay within the Republican Party.
I think actually he averted with this, acting in the spirit of Dobbs, returning it to the states. I think he averted a lot of civil wars because he had gone the other way. Then he would be at odds with Florida and the governor. And I think now they're not at odds. So, let the states, let the people develop it. That's what self-rule is, right? By people, their own rule. Let them weigh the issues and make decisions. And it's a long process. And the decision might stand for a while, and then there'll be some ferment and may change again. I think people looking for the final solution to a very serious issue are kind of deluding themselves.
Bill McGurn, Fox News contributor, Main Street columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Starting April 15th, the Fox News Podcast Network launches a new fast-paced daily quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is Carol Markowitz with your Fox News commentary coming up.
A few weeks back, Venezuelan migrant Lano Moreno posted a video on Instagram and TikTok telling people in Spanish how to take over a house in the United States, essentially how to become a squatter.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States.
And then last week, a homeowner in the Bronx who recently dealt with multiple migrants squatting at his property told Fox News correspondent Nate Foy.
I'm getting all those messages from my neighbor that these people are horrible. They threaten me.
The stories have been piling up. Patty Peoples ended up with squatters in her home in Jacksonville, Florida. She says they had a forged lease.
It took me 36 days to evict them. Meanwhile, I was physically assaulted. They threw human feces at me. They threw bricks at my car, and they completely destroyed this house.
Terry Boyette says squatters sold off her furniture after taking over her home in Dallas.
You would see crack pipes in my oven and in the bathroom. You would see little used drug packets on the floor. You would probably be bowled over by the smell because it smells like a dumpster in there.
All states have some version of squatters' rights, but now Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, just signed a law that will result in harsher penalties for squatters. More significantly, though, it allows sheriff's deputies to remove squatters if they can't produce documents proving this is their home.
You are not going to be able to commandeer somebody's private property and expect to get away with it. We are in the state of Florida ending the squatter scam once and for all.
Now, because there are squatters' rights, it can sometimes be more difficult to evict a delinquent tenant than even a squatter. In many cases, squatters' rights kick in after 30 days of someone living at a location. If they start having their mail sent to them there or prove they've bought furniture, even just a chair for the location. Getting them out can be a lengthy, time-consuming, expensive legal process.
They break in, and then they start occupying it. Sometimes the true owner of the property has the electricity still going because they just want to keep the electricity on.
Attorney Kevin Fabricant runs the Eviction Law Center in Broward County, Florida.
And then this new occupant suddenly takes over and starts using electricity. Sometimes they contact utility companies and realize they can try to put it in their names, the utility service. Mm. And they live there. That's someone who breaks into the property without permission being there in the first place.
What kind of calls have you gotten as of late? Like, what's something that sticks out to you most recently that's happened to you personally as an attorney where you've gotten a call, you know, maybe about a unique squatter story or something where you're like, wow, this is, you know, something that sticks out to you?
Often it's a tenant who is there and then they move out. But before they move out, they allow some random person they barely know to move in. And then the owner, property manager, suddenly realizes there's somebody else there that's not the tenant, and they can't bring an eviction because that person who's occupying it never had an agreement to rent the property, so they're not considered a tenant. Therefore, they have that problem where they realize they have to bring a different type of claim against that occupant to get them out, which in Florida would be an unlawful detainer.
I imagine you've seen it all on the squatter front, I'm sure. But I wonder, what was your personal reaction when you saw, if you saw that video of the migrant who came from Venezuela? He's a huge following, and he was posting TikTok videos about his journey. And one of them was about how to squat to take over someone's property. And he was referencing the laws in the United States that you can go in and take over somebody's house, and that he knows other migrants who've done the same thing. They've taken over 7 houses, he said in this video. When you saw that, as an attorney who specializes in this, were you surprised?
Well, not surprised because I'm an attorney and I see these situations happening or something like it. Your typical unlawful detainer case has several possibilities. You know, you have different types of unlawful detainer situations that arise. One situation has to do with where, because an unlawful detainer can happen where you allow somebody in your property, you voluntarily say, come on in, no problem, stay with me for a little bit, don't pay any rent, just hang out on the couch. Or it could often be a family member where you let a child, an adult child, come back and stay at the house.
Oh.
But then the owner wants them to move out and leave, that no longer wants them to reside in the property. To remove that person, if they will not voluntarily go, it would be an unlawful detainer. And unfortunately, when the homeowner calls the police, typically the police say, I can't do anything. It's an unlawful detainer. Whether the person has the right to be there or not, you have to go to court.
It's a civil matter, right? It's not a criminal matter. You can call the police all you want. But in this case, it's not that a person's breaking into your car. It's that a person has broken into your house. Like, they're not comparable, which is so strange, I think, to so many of us.
Well, if they're in there lawfully, you would think that if you allow somebody in your house and you say, okay, I no longer want you to live here. It could be an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend to a family member. You say, I want you to leave. You would think, well, now you're a trespasser because that's someone who is on your property without the legal right to be there, without the consent. The problem is, and it is unfortunate because you do see that where we see that where we have an elderly person, for example, allows a nephew or a grandchild to reside in the property, but the grandchild may has problems, either mental health, drug addiction, and that person won't move out. The grandparent is scared, has to find another place to live because now all of a sudden all kinds of they're throwing parties, having all kinds of problems at the property being created that makes it very dangerous for the this elderly person to stay there. They have to move out. They have to go to court. They have to try to remove. And unfortunately, when the police come, they nearly always will say, this is a civil matter. And you have to go to court with it. Now, that contrasts with the person who breaks in, who never had the right to be there in the first place. They also, when the owner finds out that someone's in that property, you're really at the end of the day in the same scenario. They're in the property. They weren't supposed to be there in the first place. And you go to call the police or to have them removed. And the police generally say, sorry, but it is a civil matter under the law. We look at it as that. However, again, you still have trespass statutes that exist. But the police tend to say, and it's just become the norm in Florida because it's where I practice. It's what I know most. It generally, the police just have gotten used to saying it's a civil matter. You have to go to court and remove them via the court process. Yeah.
Kevin, we don't know if there's an actual increase in squatting around the country, but we're certainly hearing more stories, maybe because there's more intense interactions with people. But the National Home Rental Council, they haven't tracked numbers until now, but the results of a survey found 1,200 homes in Atlanta have had squatters recently, 475 homes in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area. And I just want to read you this. It's from an op-ed in the Los Angeles Daily News. They write, in a recent article, the Washington Post quotes experts who claim there's no real squatter problem. It's the creation of right-wing media. Well, squatting might be rare in the scheme of things, but it's a serious problem that's been covered extensively, even in mainstream media publications. I don't know what you're experiencing. It sounds like this is what you guys deal with. Is there an increase for you personally, or are you at least hearing or reading about one?
I think with the media attention out there that's been happening, and rightfully so, it's people have gotten more, or homeowners have realized that they do want to take a stand, because in the past, a lot of homeowners would try to remove the people themselves by like paying them money to just move out. And sometimes it's worked and a lot of times it hasn't. So I think that there, we actually did check in with some of the courthouses that we use just out of curiosity on their numbers from their end. And they have, so for example, Miami-Dade clerk did say that they did see, I have seen in recent months, a little uptick in the number of unlawful detainer cases. But again, there a lot of them are family members and people like that who just won't move out, friends moved in and won't move out. And a lot of them are foreclosed properties where the new owner buys the property, goes to check it out, and suddenly there are people living there. And those people might be the former tenants of the prior owner. And then we have the squatter. The problem is the squatter, they tend to cause the most damage. And they're the ones that seem to be the least respectful of the fact that they even have a roof over their head, whether lawfully there or not. They're the ones causing the more damage we see than other types of squatter situations. And that's a big problem, because then someone who finally gets the property back has thousands and thousands of dollars with the potential damage that's been caused to the property.
You've referenced that you're in Florida. We have to ask you, Governor DeSantis just signed a new law that he says it ends squatters' rights. It basically means, right, a sheriff's department removes somebody who can't produce a lease or some sort of authorization that they can be living there. I wonder how that's going to work, because some people say, well, here's my lease, and it's actually a really nice looking forgery. But what are your broad concerns here with this new law?
Well, I do believe that in Florida, which is great about Florida, there's a lot of reasons why Florida has been going strong as a state. One of which is that we do respect home ownership. We want people to have a place to live and want them to have a roof over their head, but legitimately so. So we have in Florida the right and the ability of homeowners to remove occupants fairly quickly. And our judges throughout the state do a pretty good job of advancing those types of cases on the calendar so that within a month or so, a homeowner who brings the proper claim should be able to get a judgment by a judge to remove that occupant. And then it's up to the sheriff to go execute on the removal, which is when they actually remove the people. So that's been on the books for many, many years. Now, the new law, it does in a way what's already out there, except it bypasses the court and it just says basically go to the sheriff. It does create some issues. I think the sheriff's offices throughout the state and a lot of the police contract with the sheriff, so they're really the police department that does these. There's a lot of gray area in this new statute that I think is going to cause issues. Squatters don't have rights. In Florida, there's nothing really called a squatter right. Like some other states, if you reside in the property for a certain length of time, you have some right. That doesn't exist in Florida, right. And it shouldn't. It's if you have a lease, that lease is a license to be there. If you have no lease, unless someone gave you permission, you have no right to be there. The best rights, if you call them squatter rights, that they have is that we don't want homeowners to take it upon themselves to remove people who shouldn't be there. We don't want people banging on doors, bringing guns, and throwing people out of houses. We want civility. So we say go to the court system. And then to help that, we have statutes that require the judges, and the judges generally throughout the state do follow this, to move evictions forward for these unlawful detainer cases quickly, fairly quickly on the calendar. Now, the statute coming out that'll be effective soon, it does leave some things out. For example, it excludes family members. So if you have a family member, and a lot of the unlawful detainer cases involve family members, where you let somebody stay in your house, and that still would be required to go to court. And a lot of unlawful detainer cases we see that we get are family members. And under the statute, it just talks about immediate family members. So it's not really clear who's going to be considered an immediate family member. You'd think you know, but that's why courts exist, to help interpret phrases like that.
Attorney Kevin Fabrikant of the Eviction Law Firm in Broward County, Florida, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. It took a Michigan jury just 2 hours of deliberation to convict a woman of killing her husband more than two decades ago. 63-year-old Beverly McCallum was found guilty of second-degree murder and disinterment and mutilation of a body stemming from the murder of Robert Caraballo, whose burned remains were found in a metal footlocker near an Ottawa County blueberry field May 8, 2002. He wasn't identified until 2015. McCallum's daughter, Deneen Ducharme, was sentenced to life in prison for her role in the slaying in 2022. Her friend, Christopher McMillan, pleaded guilty to second-degree murder in October of 2019. He was the star witness against the mother-daughter duo, saying McCallum wanted Caraballo, who was fresh out of prison, dead because he was, quote, cramping her lifestyle, and says the two women bludgeoned him with a hammer in a basement before his remains were set on fire. McCallum was arrested in Italy in 2020. Her sentencing is scheduled for May 23rd. She faces life in prison. There's more on the story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by the founder of the Stewart Group, my very good friend, Dawn Stewart. We'll discuss student loans, abortion, inflation, and much, much more. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Subscribe to this podcast at FoxNewsPodcasts.com. It's time for your Fox News commentary. Carol Markowitz. What's on your mind?
Does school matter anymore? After a pandemic response that unreasonably kept schools closed in many cities and towns across the country for far too long, it's hard to say. Chronic absenteeism has exploded. The New York Times noticed it recently in a piece called Why School Absences Have Exploded Almost Everywhere. The Times largely blamed, quote, the pandemic, instead of the response to the pandemic. Yes, it was the pandemic that closed schools in March 2020. But it was backward and misguided policies that kept them closed in the fall of 2020 and beyond. Sometimes it was malice. In February 2021, the Joe Biden administration allowed Randy Weingarten, president of the special interest group, the American Federation of Teachers, to rewrite Centers for Disease Control and Prevention policies to make sure schools stayed closed. This was not the pandemic. This was politics. 4 years after the pandemic began, Americans heard Randy and her friends loud and clear. School is not essential. After all, Amazon delivered packages and Uber Eats brought food to our doors, but the schools stayed closed. It was clear what mattered. The school closures have been an ongoing issue. In the fall of 2021, after even Weingarten could no longer block the school doors from opening, though she did try, schools kept periodically closing for a variety of reasons anyway. Sometimes it was for vague COVID concerns. Thanksgiving break was extended for mental health days. Some schools closed early on some days for fatigued teachers. The lesson is always, schools don't matter. They can be shut down at any time. Today, schools close for just about any reason. Schools across the country closed completely or ended the school day early for the solar eclipse. The argument went that if kids leaving school right around the time of the eclipse, they could look directly at it and hurt their eyes. But that's exactly the same for their own good excuse that kept so many kids who were largely low risk home during COVID-19. If protecting kids means cutting them off from school, that protection will likely hurt them. No one is considering closing down places of employment, restaurants, bars, in case adults look at the sun. That would be considered a crazy thing to do. It's no less crazy when we apply closures to schools. We made major mistakes during the pandemic response, especially with children, but the enduring mistake of turning schools into something optional that kids do sometimes continues to reverberate in our society. No one has been held responsible for damaging our schools like this, and people like Randy Weingarten largely pretend they were on the right side of trying to open schools instead of a major obstacle in the way. We need to stop closing schools for non-emergency reasons. We should have taught kids about the solar eclipse and how they shouldn't look at the sun, ever. We could have provided them with glasses to look at it if they'd like. Then we should have moved on with the school day like any other. Let's draw a line in the sand and say the schools stay open. This is Carol Markowitz, columnist for the New York Post and Fox News Opinion.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.